Success 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dueling rallies in Wisconsin as the election of 2024 inches toward a finish line. Here's ABC's Perry Russum.
Former President Trump in Green Bay, Wisconsin last night wearing an orange vest used by sanitation workers.
Kamala Harris is not fit to be president of the United States. In no way is she fit.
Are we ready to win?
The vice president also in Wisconsin last night, speaking to young voters.
She was in Madison. New polls show Harris with an edge over Trump in Wisconsin and Michigan. It's still tied in Pennsylvania. The Commerce Department reporting that prices rose just 2.1% in September from a year earlier. That's barely above the Fed's inflation target and is in line with where things were before the pandemic. Fewer Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week as layoffs remain historically healthy levels despite elevated interest rates. Celebrations in Los Angeles as the Dodgers beat the Yankees to win the World Series. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
When former President Donald Trump rallied supporters at the Resch Center in Green Bay Wednesday, many of those attending were sporting number 4 jerseys as Packer legend Brett Favre made his endorsement of the presidential candidate.
I have not done an event like this before, but I decided it's time. Why? Why do I even have to explain why? Because the stakes are incredibly high.
Trump will make another appearance in Wisconsin Friday at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Madison last night rallying her supporters with a concert and party-like atmosphere to encourage young voters to participate in the election process. The rally included performances from Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Aaron Dessner, Matt Berninger, and Remy Wolf. Harris will return to the Fox Valley Friday for a Get Out the Vote rally in Appleton. The time and location has not been released yet, but is expected to be in the afternoon. Later Friday, she has a rally scheduled in Milwaukee. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson said Wednesday that he thinks Democrats will cheat in the November election, but wasn't more specific in his allegations. Quote, Democrats oppose all efforts to secure elections. In other words, they want to make it easy to cheat, which means they want to cheat. Johnson wrote on X, the social platform formerly known as Twitter. Johnson said, quote, how much cheating will they get away with? The senator didn't detail any substance to his accusations, although multiple court rulings and a statewide probe found no credible evidence related to any widespread fraud in the 2020 presidential election. The issue remains a rallying cry among some GOP supporters. I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News.
The Badgers with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, the Wisconsin men's team with a 78-62 win over UW River Falls last night at the Kohl Center. Guard John Tanjay led the Badgers with 15 points, 2 assists, and was asked if these preseason games are helpful.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something we all kind of expected going into this game, first game of the year. Coaches need a look from everyone. You know, we want to see what guys can do and where we can fit in as a team.
NBA, the Bucks on the road tonight in Memphis. They play the Grizzlies. Milwaukee looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. NFL, the Packers shorthanded at practice as they get ready to play the Lions on Sunday. 7 players, including Jordan Love, unable to go. Running back Josh Jacobs dealing with a twisted ankle asked if that's a lot for week 9 of the season.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's just the nature of this business, man. You know, you get later in the season, you have a lot more guys take a day or two. That's just this nature of this business.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be windy with scattered showers and thundershowers today. Temperatures will be falling through the day as well. We'll drop into the mid-40s by late this afternoon. A few sprinkles, still breezy for the little ghosts and goblins. Temperatures in the low 40s for trick-or-treat time. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill. Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture, but billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the Farm Bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the Farm Bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Bob's Burgers and Parks and Rec actress Jenny Slate. Then Chicago-based film critic Mariah Gates joins the show to talk noir. All this and the popcorn pick of the week.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Once again, I'm joined by a good friend and a former VP of Marketing for Civic Media, Jorge Rena. Good morning to you, my friend.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. How are you?
The music is beautiful, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it last time picking out some tunes for you, so you know, figured to keep it
yeah,
going.
Well, man, you can do that again and again and again. It's great music.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's such a big part of our culture, you know, and I think it's kind of what bridges us together when we're here, and also you know influencing the culture at large. So I always like to include that.
Speaking of culture, man, you know. The Hispanic community, the election is around the corner.
Yep.
One person who's running for office allowed a horrific statement to be made. You know, even if he didn't say it, he should have known enough to say, "Well, I don't support what the guy said." And here it is.
Yeah.
Jorge, here it is. After all of this time, now he comes back and they asked him, "Well, what do you think?" And he said, "I didn't hear it."
Right. You know, I think the thing is that, you know, there's this sort of like double standard where Vice President Harris, like, you know, she's held accountable to every little thing every surrogate says, which as it should be. And then you have, ex-President Trump just being able to get away with like just disavowing something that he clearly had to have known was going to happen. Right?
Yeah, he knew.
You know that. Yeah. And the thing is,
but for people who don't know what we're talking about. This past Sunday, I think it was a Saturday, whenever he had.
Yeah, it was Sunday night in New York.
Madison Square Garden. A comedian said some horrific things about a lot of different people, racial, different groups.
Yeah.
But especially one about Puerto Rico being a garbage place.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And, you know, well, yeah, he kind of went into a whole other host of, you know, just basically racist remarks. The thing about this, though, is that, you know, his name's Tony Hinchcliffe. He is, by profession, an insult comic, right? So he goes on Comedy Central roasts and he just says some awful, terrible things, which may or may not be funny, but in the context of a, you know, roast in a comedy show where the person being roasted is in on the joke, that's fine. That's funny, right? It's like comedians being comedians, and that's part of their art form, right? I think in this instance, though, it was completely out of context. It was in a political rally where we are ostensibly looking for leaders to model, model behavior, model discourse. And this guy gets up there and does his thing. And it was just out of context, not appropriate, I guess you would say. And, you know, call me humorless, but I you know, I think context is everything, right? And I think that his remarks just didn't play well, as they shouldn't have. And, they, you know, the backlash was swift. Like, I think Puerto Ricans understood, like, right away what was happening and how it was not okay. And they have rightfully just kind of, you know, taken to all the media they can and just, you know, organized and started pushing back. So we'll see where it goes.
So you don't speak for all Hispanics, but clearly this was a shot across the bow and absolutely moronic and idiotic thing to do a week before the election, man. For somebody who needs the Hispanic vote.
Right. Well, I think what it really highlighted was that, so basically the MAGA movement is really only going to, you know, they're willing to welcome Latinos, but only if, you know, we're complicit with the sort of the racist worldview, unfortunately, right? Like it's like, there's no real thought being given to being respectful to this, like, you know, treating us as just sort of like regular people, like we were talking about last time, right? Like, I think that shows by the way that they conducted that rally. I mean, there was, you know, they insulted everybody and they were basically like, this is who we are. Either you're in or you're out. And you know, hopefully people are getting that.
Well, but this, he assaulted all minorities.
Right. Yeah. He just kind of went down the list.
I mean, so.
Well, I guess that's inclusion, you know, yeah. I guess that's one way of inclusion.
You know, as you've written articles here recently, about this whole belief that there are many Latinos who are leaning towards Donald Trump. Let's talk a little bit about that article and your beliefs and your thoughts. You don't speak for all Latinos, I don't speak for all blacks, but I think I have a better grasp of what blacks are talking about and doing more so than somebody who's not a black person. You as a Latino, let's talk a little bit about what you see, man, and when Latino people are looking for, you know, what they're looking for in a president.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, I can't speak for all Latinos. I think what we have historically just sort of leaned towards the Democratic Party because as the sort of the cycle of migration gets started and migrants come here, we're looking for, you know, we're honestly just looking to work, right? And right. So many times when we first get here, we kind of just keep our head down and don't engage in politics because, you know, you're here to try to make it, and engaging in politics can turn into, like, you know, making waves, and we don't want to make waves. We just want to. And so, but I think as we mature, as I've matured, as like we kind of come into our own in this country, I think we just want to be included and taken into account in a fair way, I think it's fair to say. You know, again, most migrants are here to do well for themselves, for their family, and for their, you know, their chosen country, which is the United States. And I think the politicians who speak to those values are the ones that are going to resonate most with us. And I think part of the article was really just examining what a couple of authors' views are on why right-wing ideology would be, you know, attractive to certain Latinos. And it has a lot to do with the complicated history of the places where we come from, right? So, I feel like it's increasingly just, it's complicated, but it's also kind of an aberration. Like even a lot of the Puerto Ricans, like this one big artist who was Nicky Jam, a reggaeton artist, right, that had like endorsed Trump. He like recanted that. And I think we have a clip we can play later on. But I think once people start really examining what the Trump movement is about, Latinos are hopefully starting to see that that's not necessarily something that's going to be good for us in the long run. We're good for the country in the long run, not just us particularly.
So my guest is Jorge Reyna. He is the former VP of marketing for Civic Media. Let me ask you, Jorge, when you see the vilification of immigrants and other Latinos who see the vilification of immigrants, Donald Trump is ratcheting up every day. It's getting more and more horrendous and reckless with the things that he's saying. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think that, you know, I think the viciousness of the wording is what really gets to me.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, you can't say that he's not being honest. You know, he's being completely transparent.
He feels, so, right.
You know, but I don't think that that's the kind of discourse that's going to help the country move forward. And I think that's the message of the Harris campaign, this of the VP Harris. You know, it's like we need to get past this, because that kind of rhetoric models behavior. Like that's kind of the president's job is to, you know, first and foremost communicate, right, and bring people together or tear them apart. And I think that we have to make that choice, which tenor is that we're going to respond to.
You know, just from the perspective of a human being, I'm hearing this, I'm listening to this, and I'm saying, man, he's talking about people he knows nothing about.
Right.
Women,
right.
Children. He's talking like everybody who's coming across the border is a bloodthirsty criminal. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, and then,
and I kind of laugh because it's comical.
No,
you know?
But there are people who believe him, though, Jorge.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
It's not comical. There are people who are parroting his thoughts.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think you know, like I say, it's you laugh to not to cry, or however the saying
right.
goes, because I think that the real damage is in the sort of the downstream effects of all of this. Like
right.
people are going to think that that's okay. And that's, we're already there. I think people, you know, people need to realize that certain behaviors being modeled by this leader are not okay.
All right. I question that term leader. 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Reyna. He is, again, former VP of Marketing for Civic Media.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund. PowerToThePollsFund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
My name is Anton Moore. Around here, we have hardworking people that just need a break. Whether it's investing in small businesses or making housing affordable, Vice President Harris gets it.
Kamala Harris is making sure black men have the tools to build generational wealth. She'll put a policy in place that gives 1 million forgivable loans to help entrepreneurs, including black entrepreneurs, start their own businesses. She also plans to give $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homeowners and crack down on racial bias in home appraisals. Harris's plan will help black men own more assets so we can build long-term wealth.
This is what an investment in my community looks like. We're trying to build generational wealth. No get-rich-quick schemes, no scams, no one-time check, none of that. Vice President Harris got our back. I'll be there on November 5th. Will you be there?
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Rena. He is the former Vice President of Marketing for Civic Media. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, you say what?
Yeah, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and that includes all of us. Second, Jorge, I got a question for you. Because I've been researching this a little bit, and the number of right-wing, I call them hate, right-wing hate radio in the Hispanic community has increased a lot. That seems to be affecting Latinos just like it does, you know, any other group. I think civic media, as an example, I think one of the reasons why Kamala Harris is going to win is because of civic media. Because there's actually an alternative now in the state of Wisconsin. But I know, you know, living here in California or, you know, in other areas, I know that, you know, right-wing radio seems to be on the incline. And it's something that the Democrats did not do well early on. So I'm just asking, what effect is that having on the Hispanic community? And also, what can we do to get more progressive Hispanic radio going in this country?
Thank you. All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call.
I think to your point about how there's been an investment in right-wing radio or right-leaning media in general, especially radio, because it reaches Latinos in a, you know, kind of very substantial way. And I think you're correct that there's been an increase in that type of programming, and that is having an effect in sort of normalizing the rhetoric of, you know, the sort of the MAGA movement. You know, today's Latinos are more Americanized and that's kind of assimilated than ever before. So the more we assimilate, the more we are just sort of like, unfortunately, mimicking what we hear or see in the media. So I think the whole premise of civic media to sort of model an alternative is what needs to happen. I think there needs to be a meaningful and intentional effort to cover, you know, more of the sort of the constituencies that receive a messaging through the radio. I do believe there is a media company that is focused on, it's pretty much what civic media is doing, but they are they're focusing on Latinos. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but we can look it up and certainly mention it later, because there is an awareness that, you know, we can't just sort of take the radio medium for granted, and we need to start reaching Latinos in this way, in a way that's authentic, right? Like that one of the reasons civic media works is because the programming is authentic to Wisconsin. It's you know, all of the hosts are from Wisconsin, and they cover it from different angles. So that's a key part of it. So, you know, I think that's an important aspect to look at, because otherwise we're going to be staring down 10, 20 years from now, kind of like how we are now about like right-leaning radio, which is sort of toxic.
So Jorge, when Latinos, and there's been a tremendous growth in the middle class with Latinos in the city of Milwaukee. The amount of Latinos who have their own businesses are astounding. And 10 years ago, as a guy who's been in Milwaukee my entire life, there's a certain segment of town you can go to, and it is a thriving community. And
right.
And so what do you attribute that to?
Well, it's the immigrant work ethic, right? Like I said, we come here to work. That is the promise of America, is if you work hard, you make it. And that still is true for many, many of us, right? Like we're an entrepreneurial people, right? Like every, you know, I would say it's not exclusive to us Latinos, but when we come here, you know, when I was a kid, I came and I was like 14 and I got a job at like a, you know, shoe factory and like boxing and unboxing shoes, right? Like, and that was just something that like I did, and you know, before I started school and during breaks. And my grandpa told me, you know, that work does not denigrate. So when you get there, just work your butt off. So, you know, that's really just, you know, as we come here and opportunities open, we sort of, you know, some are entrepreneurial. There's a lot of construction. There's a lot of, you know, like all kinds of businesses that get started, stores, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just the ethic of the, like the immigrant, you kind of have no safety net. So you have to sink or swim, basically. And a lot of us do get to swim.
Well, what I do see is supporting their community. I mean, the dollar that's spent in the Latino community circulates before it leaves the community.
Yeah.
It touches the hands of many other Latinos, which is what's providing the continued growth in the Latino community here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. I don't know if that's reciprocated in different parts of this country. Is Milwaukee just, you know, an island unto itself, or is that happening in all over this nation?
Well, you know, I think it's also kind of, you know, instructive to look at it from the perspective of the generations, right? The first generation migrant is here to send money, and they help the families back home. And that sort of same idea of like helping out your people remains. And that's why I think in most Latino communities, there's, you know, there's that sort of investment in our own people.
Yeah, and a synergy, man, that's unbelievable. 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Renner. He is a former VP of marketing for Civic Media. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's election time. We're going to continue to talk a little bit about that on the other side.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 98.3 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
It won't shock anyone to know Wisconsin is as purple as it gets. Polls throughout this election season have remained close to 50-50. Now we're getting one last look before Tuesday. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The latest Marquette poll has Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in a dead heat here in the Badger State. It shows Harris with 50% of the vote and Donald Trump with 49%. That's when participants must choose one of the two. But when people were allowed to remain undecided in those surveys, it's 48% Harris and 47% Trump. Poll director Charles Franklin talked to our Maggie Dawn and said a small portion of voters who are still undecided now hold a lot of power.
I think that 5% is worth noting because that's a lot bigger than the 1 point separating the two candidates. And how those people make up their minds over the next 6 days, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
They interviewed more than 800 likely voters across Wisconsin. It's the last Marquette poll before
the
election.
Former President Bill Clinton is in Oshkosh today. He'll emphasize early voting and speak to volunteers who are canvassing for the Democrats. Following the event in Oshkosh, he travels to Milwaukee for a faith-based event. Former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris will have dueling rallies in Milwaukee on Friday. There are just days left until the November 5th election. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call endorses Democrat Jamie Wahl in the race for the 30th Senate District.
Having someone who understands we need a holistic approach that includes collaboration, that includes bringing people together, and that includes meaningful investment, that's what we need to make our communities safer.
The 30th Senate District covers the greater Green Bay area. Wahl is challenging Republican Alloway Village President Jim Rafter for the open seat. I'm Lisa Hale, 98.3 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Most people who cause a nuclear meltdown while working at a nuclear power plant would likely lose their job, not Homer Simpson. In last Sunday night's episode, it was revealed that despite his gross incompetence, Homer was never fired because his father, Abe, was a PI. The episode revealed that Abe's partner was taken out by Mr. Burns, who assured Abe that his son Homer would always have a job if Abe didn't snitch. I guess I should have spoiler alerted that. If you haven't watched The Simpsons, you've got 36 seasons to catch up on. The show airs Sunday nights on Fox. Bruce Springsteen is on record as refuting the Forbes info that says he is worth over $1 billion. The boss says he is not a billionaire, and it's because he spent money on superfluous things throughout his life and does not penny pinch. He also says he is a good boss and pays his chums in the E Street Band handsomely. Springsteen says it was never about the money, but always about making great music. He's done well on both fronts. One of these days, maybe he'll have Taylor Swift money. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you ever loved?
Reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to fishonmarinette.com to learn more.
It is going to be windy with scattered showers and thundershowers today. Temperatures will be falling through the day as well. We'll drop into the mid-40s by late this afternoon. A few sprinkles, still breezy for the little ghosts and goblins. Temperatures in the low 40s for trick-or-treat time. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring 6 elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and 2 iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour continues from beautiful Wisconsin Rapids and the parking lot of WFHR. Reed Gale and Trigvy Olson and myself, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm still Jenny from the block. Used to have a little, now I have a lot.
that is what you see.
A little J-Lo for you.
Hey, man, you know what? That's still a man, a really catchy tune. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or 855-75-CIVIC. My guest is Mr. Jorge Rena. He is the former VP of Marketing for Civic Media. So let me ask you, Jorge, you've been in this country for a while now. New immigrants who come here, and you hear people talking about that they're trying to get all of these illegal immigrants to vote. We need to pass laws to stop. To stop the immigrants from illegally voting. How much, if you just thought just a little bit, you would say, if I'm an illegal immigrant, the last thing I want to do is bring attention to myself with trying to vote illegally. Is there mass illegal immigrants voting, Jorge?
Well, no. You know, I forget whose show earlier this week on this network was talking about the infinitesimal, I think it was Dom. It's like non-existent. Like the amount of people who are, who commit voter fraud are super tiny in this country. It's like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction. And of those, none of them are, Latinos trying to vote. Like it's a fantasy fabricated essentially designed to scare, American, white Americans and Americans of all stripes about the threat of the other. You know, it's part of the otherizing of a group of people in order for someone to attain power. I wanted to kind of quickly interject based on the last segment, the Latino network that I was talking about that's buying up radio stations to sort of similar to Civic Media. It's called the Latino Media Network. This is based on, for Tom's question. So if you want to look up the latinomedianetwork.com, it's sort of a similar premise to what Civic Media is doing in order to counteract some of this propaganda that's out on the airwaves in the Latino community.
So let me ask you, Jorge. You wake up tomorrow. Kamala Harris is the president of the United States. As a Latino, what do you see hope? Do you see something different than you would see if you woke up and Donald Trump was the president? Is there a difference that you can, kind of speak from your perspective?
I mean, I think at the very least, the difference in tone, right? I think over the last 10 years, just the rhetoric we've been hearing on the airwaves and on the media and from friends and family, will be different because there will no longer, or hopefully there will be a diminished amount of that messaging that's directly targeted at us. And I think that whether you are follow politics or not, I think the momentous occasion that would be, the historic nature of Kamala Harris becoming president would offer a lot of optimism. And I think that optimism you can work with, right? You can build on that to, just build a better society. I think obviously what we need to remember is that it's going to take work, right? Like, even if she wins, there's going to be a lot of already the seeds are being planted to contest all of that. So it's going to be work. It's going to, it's not like she won that we're done. It's actually the beginning of something. And I think the Latino community is very engaged. If there's one thing that's been good about this election is that people are paying attention, and people who weren't paying attention before are paying attention now. I think for better or worse, Sunday really kind of stirred up the Puerto Rican community. We need them to get engaged, right? Because all of this is important. And I think the fact that like there is now kind of an awakening in that community, hopefully will sort of like cascade down to every other Latino community to understand that we need to get engaged.
You know, I was talking a little bit early before the break interrupted us about the fact that the Latino community, not only are you the number one minority group now in this country, for people who don't know, Latino community has usurped the African-American community in sheer numbers of people. So the Latino community is now the number one minority in this nation. And there's a major difference between the Latino community and my community as it relates to understanding the value of buying amongst yourselves and trading with one another. It's been a struggle for the African American community for a long time. The dollar doesn't circulate one time in the African American community. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why we continue to struggle economically. Is that understanding of the importance of that, did you bring that with you as Latinos coming to America, or was that something you guys learned here?
Well, I think it's, you know, from my experience, I can only speak,
right,
you know, to my experience. And I think what you see is that a lot of the times you're seeking comfort from your own home. And usually when we arrive, there's already a network established here of people who got here previously, and they'll have businesses that, you know, sell the food you like or sell, right, you know, things from back home. And I think that that's sort of how we, by my estimation, that's how that happens, where we're kind of providing continuity when we get to this country. And that has a lot to do with why, you know, there sort of seems to be more cohesion in terms of the kind of the spending power and the economic, positive effects that you were alluding to. I'm not necessarily sure that that has much to do with like something we learn. It's just sort of something that organically happens.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate that in this nation, that respect that should be automatically given to every human being in this nation, respect is garnered by what you have. And so, you know, and what you do financially. And so as the Latino community continues to thrive, it demands, you guys are demanding and receiving more respect. Yeah, we're not talking about if you did away with Donald Trump and what he's talking about, and just where Latinos are right now on an upward swing, you know, you're just continuing to prosper, man. And I respect your community for that.
And you know, I think you know, like I was mentioning over the chat in the break, you know, all of the music or most of the music that I selected is from Latino artists. There's Bad Bunny, there's, you know, Nicki Jam, et cetera, J-Lo. That's just one aspect of it. But I think the way that the Latino community thrives is through culture. We have a very strong sense of culture, and we're, you know, very warm and welcoming as a people, I guess you could say. You know, I've been canvassing in Madison to get out the vote. Thanks to the help of Centro, you know, Centro Hispano in Madison, we're doing a get out the vote push this whole week before the election to educate people about the fact that they can vote early in Wisconsin, that early voting is happening. And it's been really energizing to be out there knocking on doors and connecting with Hispanic Latino voters. And, you know, they, like, there was this one particular anecdote of the last few days that stuck with me. You know, I walk up to this driveway, and there's father, mother, daughter, and you know, the daughter is the person who's on my list as a voter, and essentially the dynamic that I could read was that the daughter could vote because she was born here, but the parents couldn't vote. And, you know, and I'm speaking to the daughter, and she's like, yes, I'm going to get out there and vote. And the parents are like, yes, mija, you know, make sure you vote for us, like that kind of thing, you know? And I think I realized that, you know, it's super important to get out there and reach all of these Latino voters who may be not just voting for themselves, but voting for their families and voting for their communities. And I think that that's a really important part of the Latino experience right now. It's how that sort of sense of solidarity that we need to continue to develop, that it's not just an entitlement, it's a right and a privilege to be able to vote in this country.
Now, you know, I will say this. I think, Jorge, when probably people are hearing us talking about, you know, Latinos buying and trading with one another, it's been done historically. The Italians did the same thing. The Irish did the same thing. The Jewish people did the same thing. That's the nationalism doesn't go away once you've come into a different nation, does it?
Well, no, I think, and it's not so much a nationalism. I think it's just the idea that this is a land of opportunity, and in every subsequent generational, like sort of, like migrant wave, I guess, has proven that, you know, you can come here and there is a way for you to open, to increase your quality of life, right? And and because of the way the system here is set up, it allows for entrepreneurs to have a go at it, and some succeed, and the ones who succeed sort of, you know, bring up everybody behind them. That's sort of the best case scenario, right? It doesn't always work out that way, but the fact that the opportunity exists, that it is not the same way in many of our countries, I can tell you that.
You know, are you fearful? I mean, clearly, you know, with Donald Trump being who he is and being the guy right now, that the doors, they're trying to close the door on the opportunities for especially migrants of color?
I mean, that's clearly the case, right? When he entered his first term, he started shutting down borders and, you know, making moves to sort of limit the amount of new migrants, not just Latino migrants, but,
right.
You know, the tech sector was heavily affected by this sort of xenophobia, because a lot of the tech sector is fueled but from talent coming from other countries. And so, you know, I definitely think that's on the agenda. It from their very own words, like, it's worrisome. I think ultimately it's going to hurt the economy at large and the sort of the progress that this country continues to make. I think, you know, the Biden administration has been really good for the economy, and it's not until now that it's starting to show. So hopefully people are tuning in and paying attention.
All right, 855-752-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My guest is Jorge Renner. He is the former vice president of marketing for Civic Media.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. I can't believe that the time has flown. I'm joined by my good friend, Jorge Arena, who is the former VP of Marketing at Civic Media. You know, Jorge, I don't know, and as a person who's born in this country, and, people just a perspective on just how much it must take for someone to leave where they're born. I mean, I can just envision myself being an American, picking up, leaving America, and going to another whole nation that is completely different than mine, speak a different language. Let's talk a little bit about that transition, how difficult that is for people, and why we should understand that a little more.
Yeah, I think, it is it is a little bit traumatic because it's a rupture from what you know. And a lot of the times it's not necessarily by choice. You right. are doing it, or we are doing it because of like forces beyond our control that, you know, make us have to pick up and leave. I think, holding on to your values is what really helps. Like, you know, at least I can speak for my family, for us. We're very fortunate. We grew up in a sort of like upper middle class. And like I said, in the last segment, it was my father was in politics. My mom is an economist. We had the sort of the values of like education is going to get you ahead. And so we clung to that. And we, that's what's helped us all throughout. I think the immigrant experience is intense from that perspective, but it's also, intense in the positive side, where you see there's always people willing to help. There's always people, you know, even though the rhetoric is so toxic right now, there's still, you know, like organizations that are dedicated to helping make that transition easier, like, you know, and sort of advocating for us. So that part of the experience is positive, and it helps us assimilate. You know, like I mentioned, Centro in Madison, Centro Hispano, that's one of those organizations. There's Voces de la Frontera in Milwaukee here, you know, so we go and, you know, churches are very helpful. That always helps with the process of assimilation, understanding the new context you're kind of jumping into. But it is confusing. There's